Amen. It's been good, hasn't it? We've said it once, we'll say it twice, we may say it a third time, right? It's been good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. If you'll turn in your Bibles, go ahead and make your way to Matthew chapter 6. We're looking at verses 9 through 13 this morning, mainly focusing on 11 through 13, because if you were here last week, you might remember that Brother Chris began looking at this model prayer and talking through what it looks like when we pray and talking about strategic praying. In fact, we titled these two messages, this part one and now part two this week, His Fingerprints on Strategic Praying. If you remember from 2 weeks ago, Brother Chris talked about smudge praying and the types of prayers that God doesn't listen to. And now we're talking about the prayers that God, his ear is open to, the things that he likes to hear from his children and the things that he wants us to actually communicate to him. And so as we look at this morning and we walk through the rest of this model prayer, I just have to wonder if sometimes we get to that point where we don't know how to communicate with God. We don't know what to say to Him. We don't know how long to pray. We don't know, you know, all these questions. And a lot of times it comes from our heart. If we have a relationship with someone on the another human being, we don't wrestle with how long that conversation needs to be. We go into it and we talk with them. We commune with them. We talk about life together. We talk about what is on our hearts. And those are the types of things that God wants from us when we communicate with Him. We have a relationship with a good Father, right? Brother Chris talked about last week how He is our Father who is in heaven and how He is Abba, how that personal relationship. We'll talk about that briefly here in just a moment. But I wonder if sometimes, I've got a video this morning, if we feel like this. Blake, if you would go ahead and show this.
My prayer life is vibrant and it's active daily. I like to commune with God at nighttime. I get under those warm covers and I kiss my wife goodnight. And I just start talking to God, just me and God, tell Him everything. Makes me just sleepy just thinking about it. And there I am, just laying in bed, laying out my request to Him, and He's hearing me, and I know that I'm in good company with Him. Where was I?
The efficiency of one's prayers are directly congruent to the position of one's body. Therefore, the legs should be saying, God, help me. Amen.
There are times that me and God do not talk, and that is not God's fault. That is mine. I just get so busy. And so when I do end up talking to God, I really just try to impress Him, give Him a show, just to show Him how much I love Him. So excuse me, will you, as I pray to God.
Oh, Heavenly Father, beseech me not unto thee. How now? Brown cow, oh, thy soul is so dry, and if I can just catch a morsel of who you are, so verily, merrily, down the stream.
God, I just want to be used by you. God, I want
to be salt and light and light. Salt and sight and love and peppers and oregano and pepperoni and black olives and those little bit.
When I like to get my prayer on, there's some things I keep in mind. I think it's totally awesome that God is like Santa Claus and He wants to give you the things that you want. Therefore, you need to keep lists of things. My list currently has 745 prayer requests on them. So then when I go to the Lord in prayer, it looks a little something like this. I'll just pray real quick. Let's see, the uno thing on my list is my mom, and so I'll pray for her now. Dear Heavenly Father, I lift up this sweet salt of the earth lady that you have blessed me with to be my mother, and I tell you thank you. And although I know that I'm called to respect her, and I give her all due respect, There's also an issue of something she truly needs, and that is to stop a yapping. Lord, she yaps, and she doesn't know how to stop yapping. So could you please make her mute just for a day? Nothing permanent. Don't hurt her. I love her. Just mute her. Take your big God remote and push mute on her channel. That would be great. Henceforth, I would go on and pray all 746 things.
God, you are greater than anything this world has to offer. And I can't wait for you to come back and get us. But until that time comes, would you help me just to live my life day after day as if I'm just walking hand in hand with you? God, I have a lot of needs. And I have a lot of wants. And sometimes I get those things confused. Help me to just trust you to meet my needs. And be thankful when you give me those other things that I just want. God, I have blown it so many times today, and I'm sorry. Thank you for your forgiveness. I don't take it for granted. And God, as I start this day out, I'm just reminded that this world is filled with so many spiritual potholes. Please help me to walk in such a way where I won't stumble so much. And as I'm going through this day, God, help me to live my life in such a way that would bring you glory and honor. May the life that I live be a life of worship to you. Amen.
Sometimes you feel like those at the beginning, not sure what to say, and then you just start pouring your heart out to him, right? And that's one of the things that we see in this model prayer. It's not so much you have to go through each element every time you pray, but Jesus is saying, when you pray, these are things that you need to include in your praying. Does that make sense this morning? So if you don't mind, if you would, if you found your place, go ahead and stand if you're able and you're willing. And I want to read through this model prayer, have a word of prayer, and then we'll look at this. I know there's several things on your notes this morning if you're going to follow. I told Miss Reba earlier this week that she will have to listen quickly, but know that I'm not exhausting every scripture that I have listed here this morning. They're merely references, okay? Is that fair? And we'll walk through this. All right. Jesus says, therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father in heaven, we do give you the praise this morning for who you are. You are a holy God, and we confess this morning that we are not holy. The only thing that we know about holiness is if we view you. So help us this morning as we look at your word, not to look at it from merely a human perspective, but Father, may your spirit enlighten us. But Father, we want to go out of this place this morning knowing how to better communicate with you, because honestly, your relationship with us, our relationship with you, is the most important relationship we have. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for making it possible through Jesus. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Last week, if you remember from the main idea, I kept the main idea and the big question because it is part two. So if you have your notes from last week, I have it up here. But God hears and answers humble, effective praying. As Brother Chris talked about 2 weeks ago, I mentioned earlier, there are types of prayers that God doesn't hear. And when he was talking about smudged praying, the type of prayers that are basically all about us. But when we think about this, we've got to think about how strategic is your praying? How strategic is our praying as a body of believers? And when we think about how strategic, we also think about how specific. I remember how Brother Chris talked about that a couple of weeks ago, that when we are praying, let's be specific. Don't just ask God to bless. Ask Him to bless them in specific ways. So let's be strategic. Let's be specific. So the first point this morning that I want to bring you to, and I'm not going to rehash Brother Chris's sermon, okay? I just wanted this to be a reminder to us, but I think it's important to remember that strategic praying requires preparation. What Brother Chris talked about last week is really preparation for us when we get to this next part of the model prayer, when we start talking about our needs, when we start talking about, God, would you please forgive us? Because that's another need that we have. But what we talked about last week in strategic praying means actually praying. We've got to get on our knees before God. We've got to find our place. Our quiet place, which I'll be honest with you, sometimes that's really hard to do, isn't it? And the busyness of life. But I confess to you this morning that I need to make that more important in my life. I need to take that time. And one of the things that I've talked with my D group about, and this is me confessing to them and me confessing to you, so it's not divulging any secret here, okay? But one of the things I told them early on is that I really struggle with getting away to that quiet place. And I want to do that more, because it's there in those quiet places when I'm actually praying, when I'm cutting out all the distractions, that I actually get to hear the voice of God, much less know what I want to pray. One of the things that we talked about a few weeks ago upstairs on a Wednesday night is how distracted we are in our praying. We have all these things. I don't know if you're like this or not, but I'll start praying, and then I'll start, for some reason, my mind starts going to what is going to happen a little bit later in that day, and I lose focus. Does that make sense? So strategic praying means actually praying. Strategic praying is based on your relationship with God. If you do not have a relationship, it starts there, doesn't it? I mean, we've got to have this personal relationship with God, and Brother Chris talked about how that can happen, and we'll talk a little bit more about that this morning as we get into the forgiveness aspect of the prayer. But we got to understand that we got to come to God first and confess our sins and repent and understand that we are sinners inside of God, that there's nothing that we can do to really, that God says, I'm impressed with you. I want a relationship with you. God wanted a relationship with us from the very beginning. If you go back to the Garden of Eden, right? He had a relationship with His creation. In fact, it said that He would come down in the cool of the evening and walk with Adam and Eve. And that was how they related during that time. God wants to have a relationship with us, but there's nothing that we can do to secure that relationship with Him. Jesus Christ had to do something on the cross for us. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I've got to preach this for just a moment here. Bear with me. You understand what I'm saying? When He died on the cross, our sins were taken away. They were put on Him. And if we place our faith in Him, that's when that relationship begins. So strategic praying means actually praying. It means it's based on our relationship, and it begins with worship. And we've been doing that this morning. When we sing these songs about praise Him, we sing the songs about great is thy faithfulness, how great thou art, you're a good, good Father. We're praising Him, we're worshiping Him because of who He is and what He's done and what He promises to do. Strategic praying submits to His will. And so you understand how this prepares us. This gets us in the right place. It writes our perspective. And that's one thing I don't know about you, but I'd probably need the most help with, because I want to interject my perspective in my praying as if to inform God on what He needs to do. Anybody, you don't have to raise your hand. You might tuck it behind you. I raise it, and sometimes some people want to, like, yeah, that's me. But you know what I'm talking about. I want to inform Him as to what needs to happen in the situation, instead of writing my perspective and submitting to His will and saying, God, I don't know. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. All right. So did we walk through that fairly quickly, Brother Jerry? All right, good deal. All right, let's look at the first point that's new to you this morning, if you were here that last week. Strategic praying seeks God's provision. Give us today our daily bread. It seeks God's provision. I'm trying to make it easy for you in the blanks. What was the first blank? Preparation. What's the second blank? Provision. Do you see a pattern this morning? These words are going to be words that begin with P. All right, so if you want to go ahead and write the letter P in the next blanks, you'll be spot on. So I want to encourage you this morning. All right, you see in your notes, physical needs. When we go to God and we say, give us today our daily bread, what we're saying is, God, we're totally dependent upon you. We're dependent upon you for everything. When we think about daily bread, I listed four areas here. We're talking about physical needs. He goes on and he talks about this, and Brother Chris, I know he's going to get to this. I just want to reference this morning, but you see in Matthew 6, 25 through 34, Jesus talking about how God takes care of the lilies of the field and the birds, right? And how if he does that, how much more so is he going to do to his children? And so he goes on to say, don't worry about tomorrow, right? After he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you, including those physical needs. But we need to understand that everything comes from God. I love the offertory prayer this morning, that acknowledgement that everything comes from him. If we have the right perspective, if we say your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, our vision gets corrected, right? And so in this moment, we have the right perspective in that there's nothing that I can do to provide for myself. It all comes from God. Now, I must cooperate with him. I can't be lazy, correct? I am cooperating with him because he invites me to be a part of what he's doing here on this earth. And so I cooperate with him. But he says he's going to provide our physical needs. He's going to provide our emotional needs. If you run over to, you don't have to do this. I'll read this for you. Psalm 30, 11 and 12. You turned my lament into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness so that I can sing to you and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever. He meets emotional needs this morning. 147:3 says something very similar. I'm going to turn there. He says this, he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. If you have an emotional need this morning, when we go to God and we say, give us today our daily bread, we're asking, will you meet this emotional need in my life? And many of you know that if you experience loss in life, we need someone. We need each other, but we need someone that can actually provide that peace, that author of peace, the one who says that he will be our comfort, the one who says he will be our refuge, the one who says he will be our shield, our support in our time of trouble, right? And so we go to him and for our emotional needs as well. And you know, sometimes the wonderful thing is that he uses individuals in our life to help meet those needs, right? That's the wonderful thing about being a part of the family of God, about being a part of the community of believers. We come to them when we're hurting and we bear one another's burdens, do we not? We go to him for our emotional needs. We go to him for our mental needs. When we are confused about things, when we need wisdom, Colossians 3, 2 and 3, it says that Christ is wisdom. We go to him when we beseech his wisdom. James 1, 5, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, right? I think that's something that Brother Chris has quoted many times. Anybody remember that, James 1, 5? Anybody lacks wisdom? God wants to give us wisdom. He wants to give us knowledge, and he wants to give us understanding so that we know what to do in every situation, not just in the big things, but in the little things. And we got to talk about this morning. I know me, in my past prayer life, I was very good at when Michelle and I, after we had gotten married, a year after that, we were moving to Fort Worth, Texas, and I was going to seminary. And I knew that was God's plan for me. And we went, and just all sorts of things happened at the beginning. The first 3 weeks, there was a lot of questioning going on in our lives. God, did we make the right decision? Because so we were asking God, give us wisdom here. Because we're not actually sure we made the right step. But then, one thing after another, God gave us wisdom, and he worked it out. And he showed us the path. And ever since then, even as I was graduating seminary, and we were discussing, what does God want us to do? We were praying about that. What do you want us to do now that I'm finished? Are we to go back to Arkansas? Are we to stay here with this church that loves us and would love for us to stay? And we started asking, and God just started opening doors, and he gave us wisdom, and he gave us peace about making decisions, about coming back to Arkansas. All these different things. And I'm not saying, I want you to hear, and y'all know this. Y'all have had these big things in our lives that we need wisdom for, but quite honestly, God wants us to come to him daily. Give us our daily bread. God, we need wisdom and understanding as to how to walk today. Because quite honestly, do we know what we're going to encounter this day? Have you ever been caught off guard because of something that's unexpected? God, give me wisdom for the unexpected. Maybe that's a good prayer for us. God wants to give us wisdom. Not only does he provide physical, emotional, mental needs, spiritual needs. Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. One of the things that I like about this, when Jesus is saying, give us today our daily bread, I've told the students before, he's also saying, please give me my daily dose of Jesus. Because I need that. I need that. Because I can't do this on my own. I love the last prayer when he's talking about the spiritual potholes, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But I love that he needs wisdom as to how to navigate through life so that he can stay pure, so that he can stay blameless. And even though that God is holy and we are not, we are called to be holy. We're called to be separate. And I don't know about you, but that's a spiritual battle in every one of our lives if we're trying to walk the pathway that God has before us. And so Jesus is the only one that comes beside us in the form of the Holy Spirit, our Parakletos that he said that he would send to us, who, if you are a believer today, the Holy Spirit is inside of you, and he walks alongside of you so that he can meet those spiritual needs in your life so that you can know what to do. Philippians 3:8-9, I love this. I included this. You can go there and read this. Paul talks about, prior to this, he talks about all his accomplishments in life. And if anybody would look at his life before he met Jesus, they would say that he's a spiritual person. But in reality, he was going against God, wasn't he? And then what he says there in 8 and 9, he says, I count all this as loss for the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ. And in fact, he goes on to say that I want to know the fellowship of his suffering, right? I want to be so in tune with Jesus because I know spiritually I need that. Strategic praying seeks God's provision. It also seeks God's pardon. We kind of talked about that a little bit. You see how this model prayer kind of flows from one another, right? He seeks God's pardon. We got to recognize our need. Forgive us for our debts, or forgive us for our trespasses. Forgive us for the way that we sin against you, Father. Our need, as you see there, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We understand that we need pardon this morning. God, forgive me for being unfaithful to you. And thank you, honestly, I'm going back to this, for being so faithful in spite of my unfaithfulness. God, forgive me. And then we know that God's provision in this, and when we think about forgiveness, that he made the way through Jesus Christ. You look at these verses, Ephesians 1:7-8, it talks about how in Jesus, in Christ, we have redemption. You want to write this one down. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? To forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Strategic praying seeks God's pardon. Colossians 2, 13 and 14 talks about how Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he erased the debt that we owed. Nailed it to the cross, right? Psalm 103, 12, it says, as far as the east is from the west. Now listen to this morning. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Isn't that an amazing truth this morning? When we go to God and we ask him to forgive us, specifically for things, right? Because the Holy Spirit, he will prick our hearts, will he not? And he will say, this is where you're wrong with God, where you're amiss in your relationship with God. And we confess that, and we repent of it, and we ask God for forgiveness. It says that he removes it from us as far as the east is from the west. That is pardon, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, is it not? Strategic praying seeks God's pardon. Strategic praying also seeks God's protection. Seeks God's protection. Lead us not into temptation. We need guidance, don't we? Proverbs 14:12 talks about how there is a way that seems right to a man, right? We think we know. One of the things that as we began focused prayer for revival. And by the way, he's still dealing with me on this. God is. One of the things that God really caused to come to the top in one of my needs, pride. Oh, I it's ugly, isn't it? It is ugly. And a lot of it is because I think I know how things should happen. There was a lot of pride at the beginning because in my prayer life in revival, I wanted that revival to come a certain way because I thought that's how it should come. Anybody here want to? Okay, it's okay if you don't want to admit to that. I will this morning because I did, and God really. He broke my heart because he said, Jonathan, it doesn't have to be that way. Why don't you let me be God and bring revival however I want? I have got to come to the point in my life, we have got to come to the point in our life where we understand that we need his guidance daily. And we don't have it all figured out. And it doesn't matter how long we've been walking with God. We still have to have that humility, don't we? And yes, we've gained a lot of wisdom over the years. But things don't happen exactly like they happened in the past. We need guidance. Psalm 1, 1 through 2, that was one of our memory verses in our D groups. Anybody remember that? How happy is the man who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or... What's the second? Stand in the pathway of scoffers or sinners. I get those mixed up. Or sit in the company of scoffers. To stand in the pathway of sinners, sit in the company of scoffers. That's how I was trying to remember. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction. He meditates on it day and night. Why should we meditate on the Word of God? Because it's truth. Because we need God's wisdom and guidance daily. Because when we follow his word, he can deliver us from temptation. Or lead us not into temptation, right? I'm getting into Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I need guidance, Father, from your word. That's why it's important to be in his word daily. Deliverance. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil or from the evil one, some translations say. We've got to understand that Satan has schemes, doesn't he? Satan would love nothing better than for a person who is trying to follow hard after God to fall hard. Does that make sense? We got to understand that our battle is against spiritual forces. We got to understand that Satan knows how to push our buttons. But we also have to understand what Scripture tells us, right? That we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Amen? That means that nothing, no nothing Satan would throw at us can overcome us if we rely upon God, if we're dependent upon His Word to deliver us, if we're dependent upon His Holy Spirit to guide us in those situations. There's nothing that can prevent us from doing what God has for us to do this morning. God, deliver us from the evil one. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 tells us of this fact that there's no temptation, right? This is one of Sarah Whitlock's favorite verses. But he provides a way for us. That even in the midst of that temptation, there is a way provided. And then Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 talks about how we can boldly come before the throne of God. And how the reason why we can do that is because Christ Jesus, he was tempted in every way that we are tempted. And so He sympathizes with us. So that He will give us the strength to be delivered in that moment. He'll give us the help we need. That's what it talks about. So strategic praying, right, requires preparation, seeks God's provision, seeks God's pardon, seeks God's protection. And then lastly this morning, y'all didn't think I was going to do this, did you? I was going to make it. Miss Mary said this morning, she said, are you going to go through both sides this morning, or are you going to finish up tonight? Strategic praying gives God praise. Amen? You see how it brings it all back to praise and worship to God? I think that's a wonderful bookend to this. We praise Him. What's that song, praising Him in the morning, praising Him in the evening? Praise Him when the sun goes down. Amen? For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. His kingdom is unfolding this morning. This is what we got to see. Luke 17, 20 and 21, the Pharisees, they ask about the kingdom. And Jesus, He tells them, the kingdom's in your midst. Acts 2, 46 and 47, we see the kingdom unfolding in the early church because it talks about how they had everything in common. They were doing all these different things. They were praying. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, right? They were doing all these things. And do you see what happens at the end? Daily, there were added those to the number. I don't know about you, but that screams to me that the kingdom of God is unfolding. 1983, January 3rd, Sunday night, after church, my brother Tim, and you've heard me tell this story before, brother Tim asked me, Jonathan, you want to be saved? And I said, yes, I do. So we waited for Dad to come home. Dad took me into their bedroom. We kneeled beside the bed, and I confessed, and I repented of my sins, and the Holy Spirit came and transformed my life because God forgave me in that moment. And I want to tell you, in that moment, the kingdom of God started blossoming within me because the Holy Spirit was there. And each time a person gives their life to Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God is unfolding in this world. And this is what we want to be about. And this is what we see. And this is what Paul talks about. I'm going to hold off on that. Hold that thought for just a moment. His power is unfailing. And y'all know this. Job, I love Job 42 because Job's been asking all these questions. Why has this happened to me? And God says, he never answers his question, right? He just says, I'm God. Basically, in his response, I'm God. I mean, you can sum it up like that. And you know what Job's response is? God, I know you're great and nothing can thwart your plans. His power is unfailing. Aren't you glad this morning? We used to sing this hymn, and we do from time to time. There is power in the blood. Wonderful working power. Where? In the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonderful working power. And that's true. That power is unfailing. And nothing, no nothing, can keep God from doing what he plans to do. Lastly, his glory is unfading. His is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. It's unfading. You look in 2 Corinthians 3, 9 through 18, it talks about the glory of God and how in the wilderness, when Moses would go up to the mountain and he would be in the presence of God and God would speak to him, he'd give him the commandments, and as he would come down, the glory of God would still be on Moses so much so that they would have to veil his face. But after a while, that glory would fade away. And in that passage of Scripture, it talks about how very soon we will view Christ with in unveiled glory. But you know what the wonderful thing is? Way Paul ends that portion of Scripture, he talks about how God invites us to be a part of that unfading glory. That as we take that step toward Jesus, and I know you've heard me talk about this before, but I want to say it again because it's worth it. That unfading glory starts to be unveiled in our life, doesn't it? We take that step toward Jesus. Take another step. And more we become like Jesus, the glory of God comes off on our life. And people around us see that. And we should give praise to God for that, that he actually allows that to happen because he is asking us to participate in that glory. Because here it is, the Holy Spirit, what he's trying to do in my life right now is to transform me into the life of Jesus Christ. And the more that happens, the more that people see the glory of God and they'll give him the praise. Amen? So not only are you giving God the praise because of what he's doing in your life, but people around you are giving God the praise for what he's doing in your life. What about you this morning? Is that part of your prayer life? How strategic is your praying this morning? How specific are you in your prayers? This is the way we commune with the Holy God, isn't it? Jesus Christ gives us this model, and he says, here, use this. I wonder this morning if your prayer would be, Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray like that, the way Jesus talked about. Transform my communication with you. I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. As we have this time of response, I know y'all did wonderful. You listened quickly, and thank you for that. Thank you for staying with me. I know that was a lot of information this morning. But I also know that we need this time to reflect. And maybe you didn't catch everything that was said this morning, but maybe something grabbed a hold of your heart. And the Holy Spirit is using that. And he's calling for a response. Would you respond to God this morning? Maybe God is dealing with you about your prayer life and how you communicate with him. Maybe it's a specific area that he is saying, you're not trusting me with this right now. Would you trust him to provide? Maybe there's sin in your life. And you need God's pardon. And maybe in this moment, God is saying, I need you to give that up. That is preventing me from doing everything I could do in your life. And maybe this morning you would say, God, forgive me. Maybe there's somebody here this morning would say, I've never asked God to forgive me. You know how you talked about relationship earlier, how it begins there? I don't have a relationship with Jesus. If that's you this morning, very simply, you can do as I did those many years ago as I knelt beside my parents' bed. Confess. Repent of those sins. Turn from them and turn to God and ask Him to forgive you, and He will. It's a promise. Maybe there's something in your life that there's a temptation. There's a spiritual pothole that you know you need to avoid daily, and you need God's wisdom as to how to do it. Would you give that to Him? God, I need your help. And maybe you end this morning by saying, God, you are magnificent. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. The altar is open this morning. If you'd love to respond in that manner,